Hello and welcome to Freedom, Play and Fun, a podcast with Maria Appelqvist speaking with you from Sweden and Rhonda Liebig in California. Today we have Maura Sweeney with us and we're going to speak about what it means to embrace your leadership. Hang on, we have a real leadership expert with us. That was Akina Rose. Hi, Rhonda. How are you?
I am doing fabulous, Maria. How is Sweden over there for you?
It's cold.
Is it cold?
That's how it is. I'm so happy. We're having Maura here. Hi, Maura.
Hi, ladies. How are you? And thanks for having me.
Woohoo! Yeah, that's... We're really looking forward to this. I'm going to give you some more proper introduction because I really know that you represent all what it means to live happy. From the inside out, that's really your mantra. You're an author, podcaster, HuffPost contributor, and an international speaker. And I've seen on your website, you've been speaking all over the world. And you're also on a mission to change society's worn-out paradigms through reflective questions and anecdotal stories and empowering individuals to find their voice and help entrepreneurs to develop their brand and leaders to emerge into their most authentic, influential, and highest version of self. I'm so, like, yay for you, Maura.
It sounds like such a giant, you know, world-changing thing that I'm after. But you know what? I really believe we're all better than we behave and that society can be better.
Yeah. And that's really fascinating because I think we all have a story somewhere in our history where it all started. So where did your story of embracing your leadership in this really conscious manner, where did it start?
Oh, I could give you a couple of data points. Yeah. When I was really small, I could remember looking at the White House. I had visited the White House when I was 7, but even prior to that, I remember when John F. Kennedy was in the White House. And for whatever reason, it was an era where we had leadership here in America, but there was this sense that everyone was part of what was going on. There was a sense of expectation of good things, of unity, of progress, of inclusion, whether or not that lived in other people's minds. So I was very drawn to that, even as this incredibly young child. I love the idea of a leadership environment that called everybody in and said, let's make ourselves bigger and better and let's expand ourselves. And at the time, I could remember feeling so proud that the president had, you know, young people in America going around the world, and sharing some of our technologies and friendships. But I also can tell you that as a very young child, I often felt extremely disempowered. And at one time, I felt not at all happy. And I felt very contained in an environment that had no sense of freedom, no sense of play, and no sense of fun. So if you were to see pictures of me growing up, because I have one, I was heading out to JFK Airport when I was a sophomore in high school on a school sort of a trip. If you were to look at that photograph today, and if you were to just say to yourself, who is this person? You would never believe it was me because the energy, everything was dark. It was closed down and it was anything but fun and sharing. And so I really, over the course of my lifetime, I didn't start doing officially what I'm doing now as a speaker and author, etc., until I was in my 50s. But I needed to personally learn how to find my identity, find my freedom, discover what I was about, expand myself, be my authentic self for whatever that meant for me, and grow in my sense of personal fun and freedom. Did you know I didn't start dancing until I was 50 because I was brought up to be the complete opposite. And getting through that whole process broke through. And I think so many of us, we live inside these little boxes that people around us or environments or institutions or paradigms teach us. And we become such small and disempowered versions of ourselves. So I not only took a lifetime to get to where I am with corporate management experience behind me and parenting and everything else, but I now look to share some of those stories and some of those principles with others, because I believe beneath what we all look like and act like, there is a far greater humanity and society, not just here in the United States or in Florida where I live, but I'm talking about around our world. And I also believe it's time.
It is so much time, Maura. Thank you for bringing your infectious energy today. I'm feeling so leveled up. And I love that because I'm looking for that every single day. And I want to hold you to this. If you can find that young picture of you, I would love to put it as part of the podcast so that everyone can see your before and after. Because my question right now that I'm just feeling is, you're out there speaking around the world. And what's the biggest thing that you feel or that you see that people are being stopped and not dancing and celebrating, which really I see as stepping into their leadership?
I'm going to say a sense of disempowerment and isolation, which leads to feelings of being victimized and lack of hope. And when you have lack of hope in your life, when you don't feel like anybody else understands you, anybody connects with you, or anyone is advocating for you and the gift and everything you are, people end up literally shrinking. And they end up, this is interesting, they could be in college, they could be university age. And I've seen this because I've gone to several where I've spoken. And people at a very early age, even like I was, can end up shrinking back and dying on the vine even when they're really young. And so let me give you the opposite. What is it that people are looking for? They're looking to make connections. They're looking for validation. They're looking to value themselves and recognize that they are a gift. They've got talents. They have abilities. Whether or not those abilities fall into the silos we often like to talk about, but literally gifts inside and out, traditional and non-traditional, that are needed here in this world. And by giving people permission to be that, giving them space, inviting them in, seeing them as problem solvers, as contributors to society, they feel empowered, they feel confident, they're given an opportunity to express and to really develop themselves. And what we end up having is this ongoing environment where people feed off one another's positive energy rather than feeling like they need to become self-protective and hiding.
This is so fascinating, Maura. And I know that you've been speaking in many different countries, also in Europe. And being a Swedish and knowing the Swedish culture and society, and also going back and forth for inspiration in the United States, I'm feeling there is, have you seen and met as an international speaker that there is a difference in the culture in how people are actually feeling hope? Because I think there is something in our societies that either can give hope or take away hope.
You know, everywhere, first of all, I know you said I've been to over 60 countries and I've spoken maybe in 7 countries over a dozen times, and I've got more coming up in November. So just so you know, and a lot of them are European based. But Maria, everywhere I go, and this has been over the course of my adult life, I don't just go to places like the American tourist to say, oh, what does it look like? I'm going to stay in an American hotel. I have stayed in hostels. I've stayed in pensions in countries where they really don't even have typical hotels. And my desire and my goal wherever I go, it's to make connections. I don't know why, but I envision myself like this ribbon. A ribbon is something that's always looking to make connections. I don't believe that we have all the answers here in the United States. If we did, we wouldn't have all of the bickering you're seeing right now, right? But everywhere I go, this is what I look for. I look for what's best in a culture? What can I glean from? What can I learn? I ask questions about people's history, their orientation, what some of the messages were that they were given. And wherever I go, I look for common ground, but I also look for things I can gain. And now getting back to your question, yes, I have. So I'm a student as well as one who shares. And, you know, this is interesting. I have not visited your country, nor have I spoken there. So maybe we could work on something one day.
It would be lovely.
Tell me if this is, I would love it. And plus for me, it's like making new friends.
Here we go, connections. What were we talking about?
I love it. You know, actually what I do today, I feel like it's a cover job for what I desire to do as a child. I was always indoors, always kept at home. My mother was afraid to go outside, but I'd look at airplanes in the sky and all I could think about was traveling the world, making new friends from everywhere. But tell me if this is true, Maria, where you are in your, I don't say your neck of the woods, your part of the world, is there this need or this culture that says everyone pretty much has to be the same, or there's this desire for sameness? Okay.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's really like we are very, it's the phrase of don't shine out is really, really strong in the Scandinavian cultures. So we even have this law we call the law of Jante, which basically is the 10 base, you can Google it, 10 base regulations that basically is the imposter syndrome. Don't shine out. Don't think you're anybody. Like, keep yourself small. And I think it's part of the the strong welfare society, the social democrats, the history, how we really were brought up as a collective, and equality is so important norm. So with the equality, of course, nobody can shine out and nobody can be unique and individual in that equalness.
I have heard that repeatedly. And isn't it an interesting thing that the more we get to the socialist end of the spectrum, the more equality and similarities must reign. The farther you get on the other side, which would be, you know, capitalism, the more extremism seems to stand out. And yet I have to say this, who says that one side or the other is the answer? Do you follow what I'm saying? Because I could look at both and I see some value and I also see some things that distract. Very interesting, Maria. I remember speaking with a woman from Finland, could have been within the past year, who was actually visiting here, and she had lived in both places. And she said, in Finland, she said, there's a lot less to worry about because all of your basic needs are taken care of. And she said, so in that regard, there's a lot less stress. But what she also said is, if you ever decide to dress differently, have a difference of opinion, stand out, she said, you are immediately, you get the feeling like you're ostracized. Mm-hmm. So I guess my thought wherever I go is, how do we take the best of each environment and work it together for something new? I don't think in terms of left or right. I don't think about right or wrong. I think, what is it that we all want and how do we collectively, when I say collectively, in terms of our creativity, come up with some solutions that bring out the best in others? You know, I could actually offer something right now. This is an interesting thing, and I think this is universal. Not only do I write about living happy and living authentically from our insides out, but my husband was the one who said to me, Maura, why don't you do your own study? Now, I am not the PhD as you are. I don't major in, you know, empirical studies, but I have been doing this unofficial survey, and I've had several hundred people from 29 states in the United States, 27 foreign countries. They're as young as 16. They're as old as in their 90s. And their academic backgrounds are from high school through PhD. I asked them, how would you define happiness? And they had to give me words. And I broke it down into five general areas that say what we're looking for in order to feel happy on our inside. You ready for the five? And yes. I think these are universal.
Yes.
The number one thing is we want healthy relationships. That means we want less drama. We don't need to be in places where we always feel like we have to be on the defensive, where we're always fighting, but healthy relationships. Feel that. What does that mean? Where you're at home, you're with friends, you're at work, you're at school, and your relationships feel healthy. They're life-giving. Number two, peace of mind. You know, some people look real successful, but they have no peace of mind. Number three, freedom. Ding, 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 like you showed today, right? The next one, purpose and fulfillment. Who am I? What are these things that I like to do? Maybe they're a little kooky. Some people look at all the things I read and they think, more, it's so boring. But for me, I love it. I feel it. And then number five, personal confidence. Think about this. These five things are the general ways people around the world, every age, every economic background, describe what makes them happy. And this thing about personal confidence, it literally comes from you being your best you, fully expressing, fully developing, fully exercising, fully sharing, so that not only do you feel that you have activated who and what you are, but that you find ways to express it in the world. So you feel confident, number one, because you've developed your own skills or talents or attributes. But then if you are really doing that at some point and at some place, whatever it is you do, it becomes to be a benefit to the rest of the world. So I don't even think like left or right. That's how I think. What are those elements that make us happy? And I will tell you this. See the finger? Sorry.
The finger's up.
No, because I never think I have the answers. I think I'm constantly looking and gleaning and learning. Most people will compete and compete negatively with other people because they don't feel personally confident, because they haven't had a chance to be who they are. And my sense is if we really are who we are, then there's room for everyone. And if we don't find that room now, we can create room, because everyone has a multiplicity of abilities. They may all have a certain academic background. They may have certain basic skills they learned, but then they also have personal attributes. They have intuitive skills. They have creativity. They have artistic things that maybe you don't go to school with, or they may have life experiences that help them bring into the mix things that nations need to solve problems.
Oh my gosh, Maura.
But it's true.
Yes.
It's
and true. You know what? I remember when I first started my business, I wanted to follow exactly what I needed to do to be successful. And so I dressed the way I thought I should dress. And my background was corporate. And I was very much in a closed box, which you were talking about. So I was very much a rule follower because that's what I felt. Rule followers are successful. I never saw this other side that we are living and talking about. And when I started breaking out and really learning that weren't authentic, and everything you said explains that's why there is no competition, because people want to be with people that they love and they want to feel like they're being seen and that they have that connection. When you feel that way, there's this open space that starts happening so people can see themselves. And as you were talking, I was thinking about like almost the opposite of what you're saying. So follow me here. I was thinking of our deepest fear. If you've ever heard that poem before, or definitely look it up, because it's on the other side where we haven't maybe had so much success and we keep stopping ourselves, because you're talking about like the five alignments. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that sounds so beautiful. But what about the breakthrough of being afraid to step out there and be successful and being seen and being heard? So I really love that you're around the world talking about this stuff, that our podcast is around the world. We're all international here. When you start opening yourself up, there's that exposure. But that exposure, when they're working with people like us and we believe that this is the wonderful space, that once they see themselves, they realize the success is not to run from, because now you need to go out there and you need to be tenacious and you need to get out there and help people. And something flips. And so, Maura, where do you find that so now there's a bridge here. Where do you find that people get stuck in that space? Because I know when you're going out and speaking, you're seeing faces, but I bet we'll talk a little bit later about even maybe some coaching and stuff you're doing. But I know that you're with people where you see them. Where's that bridge that opens that up for them?
Ron, did you see me? I wanted to clap as you're talking because it's like you see and live that. Let me just share with you. I was brought up to be an attorney. So you talk about the navy blue suits, and I left law school midway through because I could not live in a box that wasn't designed for me. Then I had a decade-long corporate career, actually more than that. So I was wearing the navy blue suits, whole deal. So what is it that takes us to step out? I didn't do it until I was in my 50s. I knew I had this desire for a better world, but I also knew I needed a lot of life experience because, you know, I could be 20 telling people, oh, do this, but, you know, I didn't. But what I want to say is this, what does it take to make it happen? This is so important. If we've got, I don't care if it's women, men, children, doesn't matter who's listening. The answer is you. It's always going to be you. You can be lucky enough to find yourself in an environment like today's podcast, because you could see we've never met in the flesh, but it's like we already know each other. Mm-hmm. And that space is already there that says, go for it. I want to see you be all that you are. But what if we're not around people like that? Then something within us, wherever we are, needs to use our life experience, even when it's uncomfortable, and even if it means it's really incrementally, really small, to step out, step out, step out. One of the reasons why I am so convinced that this philosophy that I share in leadership and in influence and in problem solving around the world works is because for 10 years in corporate management, I was doing that. I found people and I developed them, and everybody became an expert in some area. So sometimes we have to take that step ourselves because we believe in it internally, and it does require faith. Sometimes we're pulling up on a piece of us that we don't even think exists. Think about this. Could you imagine? I'm in my late 50s right now. I didn't start doing this till I was over 50. And for the first time, I'm thinking, okay, I want to go out and I want to be a voice in the culture. I want to be out there in the media so people can actually think a new way. I'm going to use my aging face, my aging body. I want to go speak at the university and leadership levels. And I don't even have an advanced degree. I have 40 credits toward a law degree. And yet, do you want to, here's the incredible thing, and somebody today needs to hear this. This is why it's so important for you to be you. I can't even tell you how many university programs I've spoken at, and it makes me laugh. Why? I don't even have those advanced degrees, but what I do have is what I use. It's anecdotal stories. It's reflective questions. It's the ability to get people to see themselves from within and go from one sense of reality into a new one, and to see themselves transition from, oh, I'm a small victim in this world that's constantly limiting me, versus, oh, I am a living being, and I'm here to share what I am and to develop it and to grow it and become a person of influence and grow happy and vibrant and have some more fun and really have a life along the way. So it's kind of ironic, but sometimes you have to be the one to create the change in the world. And hey, if you find other people like that, how awesome. Like I did with you two ladies today, right?
And I'm thinking also that I'm thinking it's such a gift for the university that opens the door for people like you to come and speak. Because I'm also seeing, like, being a part of the academia and being a teacher, and which is my way of also inspire, because I know I'm planting seeds in all the students just passing through my room. I'm planting seeds. And at the same time, I know it's not many universities that really opens the door for inspirational speakers to come and share that kind of life experience. And that's so extremely important for students to have that, because I think we still, our education system and our higher education system is basically, they are putting people and the students in a box. So instead of actually freeing them, they are boxing them. And we all know that there is this this famous anecdote from a Harvard professor that obviously was asking his students in economics that were master's students, how many of you would be successful entrepreneurs? And they all raised their hand. because there was the economics. And he was saying, well, I'm sorry to say it's too late for you, because from a statistical point of view, you would never have finished your first class. Right. So there is also the evidence of the more education we have, the more boxed we become in our thinking.
That is so expansive on your part to say so. And that's all the more reason, Maria, why we need each other. Do you see, I look at someone who's taken the time and the effort to study in an area of interest and attain a PhD, and I think that is so commendable. And yet one of the reasons I think why I've been brought into, you know, to universities to speak on leadership and becoming a person of influence is because what I bring is not necessarily what is taught within the classroom. Mm-hmm. And so I extend that idea of learning beyond books, beyond mm-hmm. the confines of, you may call it the box or the academic box. And what I do is I go into the human spirit and heart, and I help people connect not so much with what they have been told by external institutions that is approved or that will qualify them as being successful. But I help them to go back and literally reconnect with what's inside of them that they know for themselves to be truth. And somewhere in there, there's this little seed, a nugget that is the springboard that if continuously, let's say, watered and given attention to, will grow and help them expand into something beyond just a degree. So it helps them become a fully integrated person. And somewhere there's a lot of happiness and a lot of freedom, because now you're yourself. You're not just a degree, or you're not just a person, but you've somehow taken your interests and your studies and everything and put them well together. And that's what the world is looking for. There's so much more life in that.
Maria, it's true.
I heard you, Maria. And I know you want to say something, but you know what, Maria? You tugged at my heartstrings when you gave that stat, because we're talking, you know, about, like, Maura, I love how you were saying that we are, like, it's a full, well-rounded person that can go out and be an entrepreneur. You get to do whatever you want because your space is going to expand what you love, and it's going to grow. But when I hear stats, because I come from corporate, I was a CPA for over a decade. Yes, I have education. Maria, with your big education, we start looking at when people tell us that stuff, like that we missed the mark, and now forget mm-hmm. it's not going to happen for you.
Yeah.
I was like so mad when you said that, because I'm thinking yeah. about the students that were in that room that heard that and felt like, I mean, that raised your hand, that you're so proud, and especially if you're feeling so insecure at that time, because I've been speaking at colleges too, Maura, and just lately, and we're real sensitive at that stage, and we're trying to figure things out, that someone can demise that next step for you.
Well, that's basically also what academia does in a way in the argument, because it's all that the best arguments win. So it is a very confining word, and it really, like, it fosters criticism and argumentation rather than being alive and being like, well, but of course it also fosters rebels like me and others who speak their voice and really walk their own way. So I think it's both. But here's what we are doing every time we're having something for our listeners to bring in. So Maura, what would you like to give as to give the listeners something to ponder about, something that would like be their inquiry? Do you have anything that you'd like to?
I have several things.
Yes. And
by the way, it's not just academia that puts us in a box. Yeah. Everything puts us in a box.
Everything.
Corporate puts us in a box. Parents can put us in a box. My advice to everyone is you be you. But there's a caveat. It's be your best, most authentic version of you. You know, we could say, well, this is just me playing me, and you have to get along with me. But imagine when everything within you fully manifests as your best, biggest, and most authentic version of self. There's only one you. There's never going to be another one just like you that has the experiences, the learning, the training, the unique skills. Put that stuff together. And here's another thing too. Rhonda, I heard what you were saying. When there's an authority person over us that dictates to us and diminishes us, it just absolutely chokes us. Mm-hmm. So here's the other advice. Whenever you hear something you don't like, you don't need to fight it, but find time, and routinely so, in your own space, in your own place, reconnect with your own soul. Your soul knows how to guide you. Your soul knows who you are. Find those things that make you feel more expansive, make you feel more loving rather than more fearful, and act upon it, even again, if it's just in the smallest ways, but continue to do it. I'll always tell people too, if you can, if you're the type, keep a journal with a positive word, an encouraging idea, something that happened that was so meaningful, and go back into that place, recreate it so that you exchange what the world is telling you in terms of negative or limiting ideas, and you go back into your space and continuously claim and build upon the good stuff.
Mm.
You'll build change yourself and change the world.
Hey, Maura, you forgot one thing that's real important. You know what it is? Dance! When you're people, you start dancing. Okay. That's how we can. Now, this isn't for everybody, but I'm just saying, get that body moving. I love it, more dancing and finding it in your 50s. So I thought that, Amor, I think you forgot to say that. I know you were going to say that.
You know what? Look at my face. Can you believe I was 2 and a half and I saw American Bandstand on TV. I didn't even know what it was. And I'm watching kids, high schoolers dance. And I thought, I said to my mother, what's happening there? And she said, they're dancing. And I said, that's all dance. I want to do it. And I didn't start doing it till I was in my 50s. So can I offer anybody who's listening today, that actually launched my book series called The Art of Happiness. And it was book one called Exiting the Comfort Zone, Dance or Die. And it's my story about going back to something I wanted to do as a little kid that I knew I loved. And this is that connection. Mm. And I spent probably 3 or 4 years taking all kinds of dance lessons. I failed 2 courses. I almost ruined an onstage performance. But guess what? I never gave up because I knew happiness and freedom and fun were on the other side. So anybody who's interested that wants to write to me, Maura at maura4u.com, I will send them a free PDF of that book. And I'd love to. And have another one on influence. And I think that it'll, both of them will encourage people.
That's really wonderful, Maura. Thank you for that. So write to Maura if you want to have that book, that free PDF. With that, we are finishing for today. Some final words, Rhonda.
I love Maura. Is that final words?
Me too.
Maura, you're infectious. And today in our space, you know, Maria and I are opening the space for you, and you're the focal point right now. And I want to say that I understand why you are so successful and that you are living and thriving. And so for listeners, breathe love on what Laura is saying. And just be yourself. Those are my final words for you. And that's all I can think about. Love on Maura.
I think you need to love on love. Really, that's what it is. Live in that space, be that space, and you will be the influence to really change the world. This has been so much fun. Thank you for having me. And I will not forget that old photo. I'll give you two. I'll give you one when I was 15, looking like I lost my best friend. I'll give you the other one before I decide how to leave the box known as law school. And you'll think, can't be the same woman.
We'll love that.
Thank you. Thank you, Maura. Thank you. And listen to us next week again.
Fabulous. Bye.